Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for everything you provided to us as members of your family, as your children. Lord, we pray this morning as we look into your word and study it, Lord, that we might find out more about you, Lord, and perhaps more about ourselves and how we can relate and spend time with you, we pray. That our hearts might be open and ready to hear what you've got to say to us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we continue our series, Why Do We Have? And this week is Why Do We Have Prayer Meetings? Okay. Now, I've got a fairly wide range of prayer meetings I've been involved in at one point or another. There's the praise of spirit. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of these, by the way, but this is just my experience. There's the pray as a spirit leads sort of prayer meeting, which can be wonderful, but there's often no direction in them. And sometimes you can go into prayer about really, really obscure things. Sometimes people take over. Sometimes there's long silences and nobody prays. Really, again, nothing. There's nothing wrong with silence as long as you're not looking around or doing other things rather than in prayer. Sometimes you can start their favourite songs, again, which is no problem with that at all. But that's one sort of type of prayer meeting I've been into. And sometimes it's going to be a bit of a competition, you know, who prays the holiest prayer or starts the holiest song. I'm sure you've experienced that a little bit. And then another type of, I'm not going to tell you where, or you might guess, another type of prayer meeting I've experienced is the all pray together very loudly in tongues sort of prayer meeting, which is very, very deafening and it's very hard to sing. So I think, and there's nothing to say amen to, yet the fervour and the enthusiasm to pray is there. And then sometimes I've been to prayer meetings that are directed prayer. And that can go well or can go wrong. Sometimes you introduce a subject and people don't want to pray about it particularly. And then you get into silence or you do all the praying to keep the prayer meeting on track. So nobody else gets a chance at all. But in prayer meetings like that as well, they're so worried about somebody else changing the subject and praying about something else that they'll pray all the way through. And so, yeah, you're scared that something random is going to happen. And that's sort of really restricting sometimes to the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do. So there's a whole range of prayer meetings. I'm sure you've got ones that you've been to before. I was at a prayer meeting on Zoom for the Walk of Witness a couple of years ago. And some lady came and started complaining about the fact that her child was not straight and how it was terrible that Christians weren't looking after him. That was great. But it wasn't what we were doing at the time. And we come back to that same old thing. There's actually no scriptural thing that says you have to have prayer meetings on 7:30 on a Wednesday night or 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. But there are lots of things where Jesus tells us to pray, or God, the Bible tells us to pray. So we've got Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Okay, well, if you meet together, you pray, and you apart when you pray. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, watchful in it with thanksgiving. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And Philippians 4:6, there's just a few of them, do not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And so it seems logical that somewhere in there our constant prayer and we'll be praying together at some point or other. It's implied, it's not exactly said. But also, as we learned 2 weeks ago, we were meant to gather together and be together as the church and spend time together in meetings, etc. So, what did they do? Did they do it when Jesus was around? Actually, it was before Jesus. Now, this is when Zacharias and Elizabeth were waiting for the baby, and Zacharias was visited by an angel in the temple. And it says, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were outside praying at the hour of incense. So here we have a gathering of what would this eventually be Old Testament Jews meeting together to pray. And so there is a history of people praying together. We can't go into it in too much depth. Solomon, when he prayed for the temple when he was dedicated. Great long prayer. I don't know how he remembered that, but that was a long prayer. And perhaps he was the only person who was praying at that time. But that's quite a challenge. And so we have this history of people praying together. And the apostles Jesus also, after the resurrection, met to pray. And sorry, we just look at quickly at three instances when they did that and what happened. So, after the ascension, they gathered in Jerusalem and they devoted that time. One of the things they devoted that time to, as we learned to go, was to prayer. Acts 1, verse 12 to 14. And they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So after Jesus ascended, they met together, and they devoted themselves to praying. That's quite important. And actually, the next verse, we go on one verse more, it's not up there. Actually, there's 120 people in that gathering. Now, that's quite a big prayer meeting. You know, I hate to say it, some of the prayer meetings are just a core of people that turn up to a prayer meeting. It is just a core. Even in other churches I've been to, the core might be bigger, but it's still only a core. You know, if you do one before a service, we used to do the one at 10 o'clock before the service. And, you know, there'll be a few people there, maybe get up to 30 on a good day, you know, by 10:30. But then that would be the maximum that turn up it tended to be. And that was out of a church that was of 450. They met together with one purpose. They had something called unity, a very misunderstood Christian word. It means, you think it means we all believe the same thing exactly. Actually, the unity is that we're all in agreement on certain important facts. And the most important thing we agree on is we need to worship God and we need to pray. Yeah. It's really, really important. But I don't know if you ever found that, but it's really, really hard to have a prayer meeting with people you don't get on with particularly well. It's hard to, you know, you can't manufacture, it's hard to have a prayer meeting with people you don't get on with, you have an issue with. And in fact, Jesus sort of dealt with that as being pride in prayer as a gift that we give at the altar, perhaps. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. But you see there's a principle there that if you're going to come spend time with God and you've got a problem with somebody who's going to be there as well, it's probably best to sort it out before you have a service or a prayer meeting together. And so united prayer is something that we offer to God. He says that God inhabits the praises and the prayers of his people. And following Jesus' commands is really more important than our personal squabbles. Yeah? Do you agree with that?
Right.
And see, we see in the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or we got the command before he died. Love one another as I have loved you. By this would all men know that you are my disciples. So praying together from this section shows our agreement, our unity with one another. Not produced by everybody agreeing with me all the time, because that's a prayer meeting of one. But we agree with real unity with one another. We believe that this is more important than our personal squabbles, and we want to demonstrate our commitment to God and to his purposes, not to ourselves. And also we have prayer meetings, as we do with meetings at all, for encouragement, for obedience, and for boldness. I don't know if you remember the story, at the start of Acts, we'll read it in a minute, or read it at the end of it in a minute, they went and healed a man who was lame and gave beautiful silver and gold, have I none, and the songs, and such as I have give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so then they went, and they were told off, and they were arrested, and they were told not to preach in Jesus' name. Couldn't do it anywhere they were allowed to. Not that they had authority to say that. And so they went back to the rest of the disciples, and the apostles. It says, and when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of Father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves together, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word in all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed for the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Can you see there the effect then of them praying together? I don't know how they got to whether they were all praying, same thing at the same time, by some miracle of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to think that was the case. But it doesn't really matter at that point, is that they were praying together and they were in unity with one another, in agreement. It's something God had made possible. So once again, they demonstrated their unity, their agreement with one another. And they prayed, not for the destruction of Herod and the Jewish authorities. And I have been in a prayer meeting where we prayed for the destruction of Putin and that he might be completely destroyed. It still hasn't happened, so that one hasn't been answered yet, but hey. That wasn't what their focus was. Their focus was on us being more bold, us being filled with the Spirit, and us moving out and doing what God had told us to do. That was obedience. And they were all together, and that encouragement, by praying together, they were lifted up, they were built up, and they went out more because the Holy Spirit fell upon them mainly, but because they were together and united in prayer. And it was a response from God that the whole church that were there at that time experienced. God was confirming, and this often happens in a prayer meeting, with the word, what you're supposed to be doing. What they were doing in preaching the gospel and going out in boldness and even resisting the authorities was exactly the right thing to do. And so we see that answer to prayer in Acts 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among all the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together. Again, there's unity there in Solomon's portico. None of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were adding to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, or at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with those unclean spirits, and they were all healed. There's a lot going on there, and sort of possibly triggered by how actually they'd spent time with Jesus, they'd spent time with each other, and they were in prayer together and in unity. So we meet together in prayer to gain boldness in being with each other. You build each other up, you strengthen each other, you guide each other, you help each other in their difficult times. And somebody standing and being bold enough in front and going out ahead will encourage other people. It's a very true thing to say. If somebody's singing really loud in the congregation, I know you're probably thinking that's Mike or Beth, other people who don't normally open their mouths to sing will sing more because they think they can't be heard. Do you see the principle here? And so as people are bolder and they go out, and other Christians will follow them and join in with them because they see that's the way to go. So they met together to demonstrate to be bold, to demonstrate their obedience to God, that obedience to God was something they all did, they were all in, and to be encouraged by one another, and to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. But as a result of this, the devil came back very, very quickly with a response. And we then read about, very quickly, the martyrdom of Stephen, but also Paul's conversion. It's all very, very included together. and the conversion of Samaritans and Gentiles. They're included then in the gospel. But the Herod and the Jews were getting very upset at this, and hence we came to our reading this morning where James was killed, the brother of John. Lots of Jameses, so we're confusing. Get the right James. The brother of John was killed, and Peter was arrested. And you remember from Ron's reading what happened? I'm not going to read it again now. That's the end of it. Okay, that's fine. And so they went through, and obviously there's lots of amusing things in the story. One was Peter coming to himself. The other one was Rhoda answering the door, saying it's Peter, and then running back in to tell them and not actually opening the door. Which would probably be a very key thing to do right at that time. None of mine, nevertheless. They were praying together, and they were praying for Peter. I assume they were praying for his release. And they carried on praying, even though he had been released, and they didn't know it. It wasn't something they gave up on very quickly. They were persistent and they were persevering in what they were praying about. And they carried on doing that. And they planned, even though Herod, it was several days they were praying for, you know, they didn't give up. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And everybody was praying for the same thing. So praying together helped us to persevere. You encourage one another, build each other up in prayer. And it's because it's so much easier to give up when you're on your own. And so prayer meetings become really, really important, that everybody prays together. And so to give a brief summary, so why have prayer meetings? It demonstrates and develops our unity. It shows our commitment to God and each other. It's for mutual encouragement and building up and standing together. It's part of our obedience to pray without ceasing on God's promises, standing on God's promises together. It increases our boldness to stand against injustice, persecution, and spiritual attack. It unites us in purpose and helps us persevere in our lives and praying. But there is something more. As Christians, we are children of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are his children. And there are benefits involved in being children of God. But we often live not in those benefits. We live outside those benefits. And one of the benefits is that we have access to God directly, each one of us. It's not pastors or elders or worship leaders or anybody else who has primary access to God. It's not priests or ministers. It's all of us. Everybody has access to God as a group and individuals. We all have it. That's one of the conditions. It's one of the great things of being children of God, that the door, the way is made open. So why would we not then spend time together in prayer? Why would we not, as that benefit of communicating, of having discussion, of being around God and being talking to him, why would we not take advantage of that as children of God? Mm. Why would we not step into that? Why do we live in a world where we think, oh, it's all right, the elves are praying.
Yeah.
It's all right, the prayer warriors are praying. Not the prayer warriors are good concern. The prayer warriors are praying. Does it matter? Yes, it does matter, because you come and join with us and we encourage you and you encourage each other and you, by turning up, encourage us to keep on with what God has told us to do. That you have things and concerns on your heart that we pray for together.
Yeah.
Understand that the benefits we have from God, we have to grab hold of and take them on. That's why it's important to meet together. That's why it's important to do things like picnic or a fun day together. And it's really, really important that we pray together.
Yeah.
And pray as individuals. So I'd encourage you, if you can make it, it doesn't have to be every time, but to join us at the prayer meeting. You don't even have to pray. You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to pray like Ron. You can perhaps pray like Richard. And she's not here at meals this morning. She has a very, very natural way of praying. Mm-hmm. She just talks to God in a very normal way. None of this Lord or just or really. Okay, so it doesn't matter how you pray, it matters that you pray. Mm-hmm. And you take on the benefit that being a member of God's family brings in, and knowing who you are in God.
Mm-hmm.
And what benefits you have. So please, if you can, join us at a prayer meeting. That's why we have prayer meetings. Our strength is there. It used to be called the engine room of the church. Not quite sure where that comes from. But even so, whatever that is, please, please come and join and pray with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really important for the church to be praying together, because it demonstrates our unity, it demonstrates our commitment to what God has told us to do, and it's one of the benefits of being a child of God. It's the benefit of being a son, and the benefit of being a daughter and not thinking ourselves as a servant or a slave.
Amen.
Because we are in that position. Let's take hold of all the benefits we have, all the advantages we have, and join together in prayer. Thank you. Amen.